Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, welcome to Best Show Bests, the best of the best show. And you can find out more about the best show over at thebestshow.net. It airs live every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. And if you're new to the program, this show, these are little bite-sized bits and greatest hits type samples of what we do every week. So if you like this, maybe you check out the full show. And if you want to support The Best Show, we have a Patreon set up over at patreon.com/thebestshow. That is how you support the program. It is listener-sponsored now, and you give what you can, and we appreciate it. And there are prizes and benefits at all different levels of giving. So again, go to patreon.com/thebestshow and support the show. And now please, without further ado, check out this episode of Best Show Bests. Best Show.
Hi, I've got one for the topic.
Okay, the topic being comeback redemption.
Yes.
What do you have?
All right, so I was once in this elevator with Patti Smith, and I asked her if she'd ever seen Humble Pie.
Uh-huh. Did you say anything else? Had she ever seen Humble Pie? Are you leaving out any other phrases on that?
I don't think so.
Maybe. Did you say, have you ever seen Humble Pie back in the day?
I did say that. Yes, yes. And she said, a little before my time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's very funny.
I'm just busting your hump
funny.
There.
No, that's funny. That's funny. I appreciate it. Who is this?
Excuse me?
Who is this?
Larry in D.C.
How are you doing, Larry?
I'm doing good. I'm loving the show. And I just want to say, you are a total badass. Just going by the current 2017 definition of total badass.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what would you say the current definition of total badass is then?
Well, I know what it is.
What is it?
Well, the Webster's entry is badass, a person who performs a given task at a reasonable level of competence.
But well, that's not real. That's actually Webster's.
Oh yeah, no, it is real. Yeah, I mean it's as real as the air that we breathe, the food that we eat, the Loch Ness monster.
Well, I mean, I think that the time has proven that there is no actual Loch Ness Monster.
What? No way. No. There's totally a Loch Ness Monster. It's as real as these, these Trump Comey tapes.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, so far, actually, nobody's certain whether that tape exists either.
Again, no way, Jose. It's real.
It's real.
I've heard it.
Wait, you've heard... Well, how could you have heard the Trump Comey tape?
Because I recorded it.
Wait, hold on. You recorded it?
Yeah, yeah. I'm the White House recording engineer. Why?
Okay.
Actually, that's only half true. Most of my time is spent remixing.
Remixing? I mean, this is I am completely confused now. You spend your, what would you be remixing at the White House?
Well, right now we're remixing A Night at the Opera.
The album, the Queen album?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, and who is we?
Me and the president. Why?
All right, I'm having a very hard time wrapping my head around the idea.
Mm.
Wait, so can I ask why you and the president are remixing A Night at the Opera?
Sure, you just did. again, busting your bees. We're remixing it because the president thinks John Deacon's bass is too low in the mix and also very puny sounding.
Oh, I have to say, what was your name again?
Larry,
I have to say, this is definitely the weirdest thing I've ever heard. I have to know more about this. Can you please tell me everything about it? Why and how and where you and the president are remixing a 40-year-old Queen album?
Okay, well, regarding the where, when he was inaugurated that day, pretty much, he installed a state-of-the-art recording studio in the White House basement, you know, complete with vintage tape machines, mixing boards, really cool outboard gear. The how, you know, when you're president, you can pretty much do anything, including subpoenaing a multi-track recording tape from Roy Thomas Baker, which he did do. That was a whole scene.
Okay.
Yeah. As for the why, basically the president just loves music. It's his one real, true, only passion.
Really?
Yeah.
Music.
Yeah. It's all he cares about. It's all he thinks about night and day.
That is unbelievable, because if there's one thing that nobody, like, really knows about Trump, is just like, if he likes any music at all, and if he does, what music would that even be?
Right. It's something you just don't hear about. And he lives for music, everything to do with it. And it's kind of why he, you know, if you'll notice his press conferences or whatever, he just kind of wings it, and he doesn't really seem to know what he's talking about, or he doesn't really seem to have given any thought to what he's about to say. That's because he really hasn't, because he's just thinking about music all day. And he has really good taste.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I it's so hard to picture him with good taste when you think about how Three Doors Down played, like, Smash Mouth's All-Star at the inauguration.
Oh, right. That's only because he couldn't get, you know, God, who was he trying to get? He was trying to get Kurt Vile, the aforementioned Patti Smith. He was trying to get The Fall to play, but none of them could really do it. And he was trying to make it DC-centric also. I know for a fact he offered Minor Threat $7 million to reform.
To play the inauguration.
Yep. There was one holdout. Lyle Preslar wouldn't do it.
So Ian MacKaye was going to do it.
Yes, yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, which is strange because, you know, Lyle Preslar's nickname in the hardcore days back then was the G. Gordon Liddy of punk. So it's weird that he kind of turned on that.
Yeah.
He was also trying to get Trouble Funk to reform. They wouldn't do it. Urban Verbs, same deal. So...
Huh, okay.
He was trying, you know.
I gotta say, in the, you know, really wild shock, you know, I gotta say, though, in the shock of all this stuff and me trying to wrap my head around everything you're saying, it's like I didn't even get a chance to follow up on the Comey tape, like a bombshell that you dropped earlier.
Right.
It's like, you said you recorded it.
Yes, I did.
Uh-huh. And, I mean, can you confirm that, like, people say that Trump asked him, Comey, for an oath of loyalty?
A what? No, there's no talking on it. It's like 20 minutes of just jamming.
Of jamming?
Yeah.
Wait. like music jamming.
Well, if you can call it that. I mean, pretty awful. It's pretty terrible. And basically that's why Trump says in that tweet, you know, he said Comey better hope there's not a tape, because it's just fully embarrassing.
The tape because of the music on it.
Yeah, it's like a really weak jam. It's Trump on bass.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Hawks from the Cars on keyboards. Kenny Aronoff on drums, and Comey is on guitar and vocals. And I gotta say, you know, Trump, although he was just playing bass, his runs and his groove, very fluid, very solid. But, you know, here's where it kind of falls apart. All the riffs and the ideas were Comey's, and he just doesn't really have it, you know, and it's pretty awful. Basically, it sounds like, I don't know, like subpar Scarecrow Mellencamp meets latter-day Supertramp, but more new wave. It's like there's no focus to it at all.
That does sound pretty rambly, the idea of John Cougar, John Mellencamp, because at that point there was no Cougar in his name
right,
anymore.
Right.
Do you ever wonder with that, do you think he wanted to call himself, because it was Johnny Cougar when he started.
And you know who gave him that name?
It was David Bowie's manager.
It was.
Yes.
Tony DeVries.
Do you feel that, I've always felt this. He never would have changed the Cougar. If it wasn't Cougar, but it was Cigarette, if it was John Cigarette Mellencamp.
Right.
He never would have even gotten that far. He would have been fine if his name was just Johnny Cigarette.
I think so. And another tidbit, which you might know about, he was really trying to be kind of the spokesman for cigarettes in the late 80s.
He was like the only guy.
Not even a brand, just cigarettes.
Just the idea of cigarettes.
Yeah.
Yeah, John Mellencamp. Nobody has like
smoked more of them?
He is the Marlboro man.
He is.
He's the actual Marlboro man.
Yeah.
I don't know why he just doesn't do like ads for cigarettes.
I don't know.
Like that would probably be some product, like some like, you know, those guys are always worried about selling out or like,
right.
If one of the cigarette companies contacted him saying they wanted to use one of his songs for a cigarette commercial, I bet you he would change the words in a second.
Little cigarette smoked by Jack and Diane.
Yeah.
That's just off the top of my head.
Yeah, he would suddenly be just singing songs about cigarettes.
I think he would. Hey, speaking of smoking.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be saying this, but I am pretty baked.
Okay.
President Trump is making an album.
What's that?
He's making an album.
An album of an album of music?
Of his own music, yeah. But you didn't hear it from me, okay?
Okay, I can't. What is his music even like?
Well, the music is actually pretty cool. It's like, it's kind of a cross between, like Funhouse era Stooges, Crocodiles era Echo and the Bunnymen, and that kind of presence sound that Zeppelin was getting on that record. I think you'd like it. I really do.
Huh. So like very, very kind of guitar, the guitar is layered like that? Like
yes, present? Yeah.
Yeah. Because some have said that Jimmy Page is the, that's like the Jimmy Page album.
Well, he played on it.
Yeah, no, I know Jimmy Page.
No, he played on this stuff.
Wait, Jimmy Page is playing on the Trump stuff.
Yes, so is Will Sargent from Echo and the Bunnymen.
So he's playing on it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
It would be weird enough if just that Jimmy Page and Will Sargent would be in a band together,
right?
Let alone Donald Trump being the connecting link between those two.
It's crazy, right?
Like, so that's crazy music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild stuff. Topper Heaton's playing the drums.
Okay, wow. So that's a pretty weird musical the team that he's
playing. It is. And, you know, lyrically, it's pretty much what you expect from the president.
Uh-huh. Like, how so?
Well, hang on. Let me get the track sheets here. Give you some titles, songs we've been working on. Let's see here. Great Stuff, The Best, Where's My KFC Bucket, I can do anything and get away with it. Exercises for F's. I'm sure you probably don't need to know what that is. Lock her up. I'm a modern day Icarus. God is a disaster. I have the longest neckties. Sad, exclamation point, all caps. Nobody can stop me. Those emails. I don't need to flush the toilet. I can have sex with him.
Wait, what was that last one?
I don't need to flush the toilet.
Is that a? I missed that as a. Is that something he? Okay, I'll.
Yeah, I really don't want to discuss that, but it. Yes, okay. It is. I can have sex with whomever I want. I do give him credit for using whomever, yes. not whoever.
Yeah. That's a fair point.
And then there's like this 30-minute one called Red Baseball Cap Blues.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so it's a lot of cool stuff.
A lot of songs.
The album's going to be called The Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
And the cover is you know, it's him kind of dressed as the Godfather.
Like hip-hop covers from like...
That's what it looks like, yeah.
Like those ones that like would be like a Master P album
exactly,
cover?
Exactly, yes.
Like with like stacks of like clearly digital money, like
yeah, but his isn't digital. He actually had someone go to one of the mints,
uh huh,
and bring back a whole lot of money, which he did not return. I have to say,
okay,
yeah. He has a cobra around his neck that he made someone get from the DC Zoo. He didn't return that either.
So he took money out of the mint and got a cobra from the zoo and did not return either of them.
Yeah, I don't know where that cobra is, I got to say. I really don't know. I wish I did know.
Uh-huh.
I know it's causing a lot of panic in the White House.
There's a cobra on the loose.
Yeah. You know, he's hoping to have this record out after he gets impeached in a few months. Oops. You didn't hear that. Okay.
Okay. I didn't hear what?
Nothing.
No, see, that I was saying... That's me saying, like, I didn't hear.
Oh. You got those tight lips. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That's really upsetting for you to say.
What? No, I meant, you know, it's really the opposite of loose lips sink ships. Tight
I'm
lips.
With you. Oh, I'm with
I guess there's not really a second part of that
there's
one.
No right way. There's no right way for that to sound, Larry.
Where is your head? It's in the gutter. I don't get it.
Well, I got to say, you started off with the... Patti Smith thing, and I'm a little on high alert with you.
Well, I'm sorry, okay? It kind of shook me when you basically just turned into Larry Flint.
Uh-huh, okay.
For a second.
Sure.
Or the Albert, who was the creep who did, what was that other magazine? Albert, was it named Albert something?
It was Al Goldstein.
Al Goldstein, oh my God. That's who you sounded just like.
Oh, okay, well, thankfully you got the right reference there for...
Right.
For the right sleeves.
Screw. That was his publication. He put out a publication called Screw.
Yeah, it was a publication. Yeah.
Yes.
A fine publication.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know, Larry, who's putting the record out?
Well, you know, it's interesting. He wanted to put it out on Third Man, but between you and me, he thinks Jack White is just getting way too weird.
Uh-huh.
And then he wanted to put it out on Merge, but he kept seeing all these mean tweets about him from literally every Merge act except Destroyer.
And I don't know. I don't think Dan Behar has a Twitter account. That's probably
the
only
reason. Computer.
Yeah, I could picture him not. What do you think's the technology that Dan Behar? What do you think's the most extreme technology that Dan Behar does not own?
I don't think he has he might have a cell phone.
Okay.
I think that's as far as he gets, really, but it's there's no way it's not one of those flip-tops.
Okay. Yeah. Microwave oven.
I think he has that. He might have a TV, although I'm sure he probably made a stand about TV and got rid of his, like, 5 years ago, right?
I would bet he has a TV to watch movies on. He probably,
that's true. He would probably disengage its capacity to actually, pick in a broadcast or cable, though, right?
Yes, it would be for movies and for...
Yes.
Yeah. Do you think he has a stove?
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
No, I don't.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't either.
Maybe a car.
I'm sure he's got a car. There's no way he doesn't have a car.
Yeah. So instead of all that, he's putting his record out on his own label, which is called The Best Records.
The Best Records.
Yes.
That's the name of the label.
That is, yeah. I mean, what else would his label be called?
That kind of fits the bill. Yeah, I guess
yeah.
so. I mean, I gotta say, Larry, this whole call is shocking, and this is a major scoop you're giving me here. Like, nobody has ever mentioned any of this stuff about Trump's musical aspirations.
Well, you know, he's very shy about it, which, you know, of course, is at odds with his public persona. You know, he's so boastful and in your face about everything. But, you know, truthfully, he had a false start early on in life when it comes to music, and it really shook his confidence.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. What was that?
Well, when he was a kid, he tried to join local rock bands in his area, but he was always getting shunned because his hands were too tiny to form chords on the guitar, like actual chords.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids were just merciless. They'd call him names like, what were some of the names? Baby Whittle Hands, Pixie Digits, mm-hmm. Mr. Tiny Sausage Fingers, stuff like that.
Sure. Well, kids can be very hurtful.
Yeah. So he took up the bass, okay. You know, because you can just use one finger at a time to play notes. And mm-hmm. he actually took lessons for many years, and sometimes he took lessons from Jaco Pastorius, which is pretty nuts.
The legendary bassist.
Yes. His daddy would pay Jaco like up to $1,000 a lesson, and eventually Trump got really good. And, of course, that practice paid off when he was in KISS.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I didn't know. Is he a KISS fan? He saw. You'd think he would knew KISS from like booking them, but I wouldn't think he would actually go see them.
No, he was in KISS.
Well, no, this. What do you mean he was in KISS?
Well, in 2009, you know, KISS were of course doing their Sonic Boom tour, promoting that fine record, and Gene Simmons blew his back out.
Uh-huh.
And the doctor told him, you know, he couldn't do this one element of the show. Basically, he would get in this harness, and they would hoist him up, and he'd go to the rafters of the arena or the venue, mm-hmm. and there'd be a little stage up there, and he would sing this song called God of Thunder
yes.
from up there. And, you know, it's a crucial part of the show, but the doctor said he couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So Gene calls his good friend Donald Trump, who he knows how to play bass. You know, he knows that Donald can play bass. So he asks him if he'll fill in for him, and he says, yeah, of course I will. So Trump did so well that Gene let him finish the tour in his place. Isn't that crazy?
It's so nuts.
But it happened, and what's crazy is nobody knew it wasn't Gene because with the makeup and the costumes, they both look like the same giant hot fudge sundae.
Yeah, that is kind of what Gene does look like, a melting hot fudge sundae.
Yeah,
up there with way too much whipped cream on it.
Right. Yeah, just kind of blasting out that frog fart voice he does.
You did like the album Sonic Boom, though. You said
it's a great record. Yeah, yeah.
So you like the album?
I do. Yeah. Modern Day Delilah, that's on that one, I believe. It's a great song.
Yeah.
But you didn't hear it from me.
Mm-hmm.
But check this out. Trump hasn't been running any of his companies since his kids were old enough to take over, basically so he could devote his full focus to music.
Huh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He says one of his biggest regrets is that in the 80s, he didn't really trust anyone enough to fully run his companies in order for him to go out and rock more.
Okay.
He's always talking about how great things were in the 80s, you know, and like that was his prime and that was the best time for music, and he basically just loved all of it. He didn't really, you know, like one thing and shun another thing. He loved metal, he loved synth pop, industrial, thrash, he loved jangle pop.
All that stuff.
All that stuff, yeah. Like he would go, you know, he'd see, Christ on Parade or something, and then go see Let's Active.
Uh-huh.
You know, the same night.
Sure. He was
Skinny
just,
Puppy.
Uh-huh.
DBs.
Just really just consuming as much music as possible.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. And, you know, his hair is a total tribute to Mike Score. He even told me that.
From A Flock of Seagulls.
Yes, yeah.
The singer.
Loves That's, Mike.
He loved... That makes perfect Doesn't sense it? When you think about it.
It's such a weird hairstyle, but I guess, you know, it's so long ago, and their hits were so long ago that no one really thinks about it.
I guess so, yeah. So he loves Mike Score.
Loves Mike, but he hates Paul Reynolds, who was their guitar player. I don't know where this comes from. He talks about him all the time. So basically, also the day he was inaugurated, he had Paul Reynolds imprisoned. He's one of the few guys still left at Guantanamo.
The guitarist from A Flock of Seagulls.
Yes, he wouldn't even let him keep those cool sunglasses.
He always wore those glasses.
Yeah.
He really had that, that was a band that,
That was a quick fall.
Well, they had two albums, and then they were kind of out the door.
Yeah.
It's a good run.
They did, yeah.
You know? So.
But, you know, his working so hard back then certainly doesn't mean that, you know, like I said, that he wasn't going to clubs. You know, he would go see bands as often as he could, you know, pretty much every night.
So, Larry, can I ask, though, why? Because that era, there's so many pictures when Trump was a New York City real estate mogul.
Mm-hmm.
He was always being photographed like at a fancy dinners or parties or premieres.
Right.
How is it that if he's going to see bands all the time that there's not photos of all that as well?
Oh, because he'd wear clothing that would help him blend in. Like, say if he was going to see the Bush Tetras or John Zorn at the Pyramid, you know, he totally dressed like downtown.
Okay.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, if he was seeing the Heartbreakers or Iggy at the Peppermint Lounge, he'd junkie himself up.
See, he would junkie himself up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what does that entail?
Well, you know, like kind of cool, almost like, you know, Pacino in Dog Day Afternoon, but if like he had just rolled around in the gutter for like a mile.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd also do the thing that Giant Thunders would do, where he'd wear like a cool fedora, but he'd also put a syringe in it too.
Oh, okay.
You know, to kind of signify where he's coming from, that he was street.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I guess if you want to fit in, I could see that. It's surprising, but it makes sense.
Same thing if he was going to a CB's matinee, you know, hardcore matinee.
He would go to CB's hardcore matinees?
Oh, yeah, yeah, and he'd wear, you know, like a backwards baseball cap, rolled up jeans over Doc Martens, suspenders, no shirt.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, he would rule the pit.
Uh-huh. I'm having a very hard time picturing him at CBGB's in the 80s.
Oh, wow, you got to search this. There is a photo of him doing stage security at a Cro-Mags Rock Hotel at the Ritz show in 1986.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And him and Harley go way back.
Harley from the Cro-Mags.
Yes, yeah. Trump even sings some backups on Age of Qual.
Well, this is... Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he was also very tight with Rick Rubin.
Uh-huh.
And he'd hang out at Rick's dorm all the time. And he'd even tag along with Rick's noise band Hose
sure.
when they play City Gardens in Trenton.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's how he met Jon Stewart.
Because Jon Stewart was a bartender at City Gardens.
He was, yes, yeah.
He likes to tell that story.
Who, Jon Stewart?
Jon Stewart.
Yeah. I feel like I've heard him say it once.
You. Maybe it was only once.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think he's, here's a question for you, Larry. Do you think he's spent, what do you think he spent more time doing? Working at City Gardens or telling the story about how he worked at City Gardens?
Telling the story.
Yeah.
I think so.
Uh-huh. I agree.
You know, also, you can see Trump in the No Sleep Till Brooklyn video.
The Beastie Boys video.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
He's drinking beer out of like a, it's like a miniature, what's the hockey trophy?
The Stanley Cup.
Something cup. What's it called?
The Stanley Cup.
The Stanley Cup, yes.
Yes. So he's drinking beer out of a miniature Stanley Cup.
Yes, and then he dry humps this chick.
All right. All right. I gotta say, this is fascinating. And, I mean, if you're working on music to this degree with him, I mean, is it just the two of you in the mixing room or in the studio?
For
these huge stretches of time?
Yeah.
So, what are you talking about?
Well, you know, like I said, we talk about music pretty much. That's the main thing. He likes to talk about new bands that he's into, like, gosh, who's he into lately? This band called War Paint. He likes real estate. This band called D Planet. I can't really say the first name.
Yeah, it's like a it's a
to- oh, it's Diarrhea. Yeah,
there you go. Diarrhea Planet.
Yeah.
So he likes them a lot.
Beyond that, there's also long stretches of silence.
Uh huh.
And during that time, he's just constantly doodling.
Doodling.
Yeah.
Like, what, do you know what he's doodling?
Oh, yeah. He does album covers and, like, cool guitars, these elaborate stages, that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh. So kind of like the way a kid in, like study hall, like a teenager in high school who's
super into
music would?
Yeah, like a dirtbag ne'er-do-well, and, you know, he's in study hall, and he's... You know, like drawing the Judas Priest stage or something, and you know, those kind of rock fantasies that like 14-year-old boys have, that sort of thing.
Sure.
Yeah, but he takes it even further. He puts together these elaborate rock fantasies that are really weird. Hang on, let me see if I can find his latest doodle pad.
Wait,
hang on,
you have there around.
I do. Yeah, here it is. Oh my god, I didn't even see this one before.
What's on it?
I'm trying to figure out what exactly. It appears, it's an album cover, and it's got liner notes, track listing, everything. It's for something called Dildan Shock Whistle. It's a weird.
What's that? Dildan.
Dildan Shock Whistle. It's one of these fantasy bands that he comes up with all the time. This one is Bob Dylan, Glenn Danzig, Gina Shock from the Go-Go's, drummer.
Sure.
And John Entwistle from The Who. And it's a super group that I guess he's kind of fantasized that they form.
Dildan Shock Whistle.
Yes.
Okay.
Kind of rolls off the tongue.
Oh, yeah, it's a very catchy name. Yeah. Is there a name for the record?
Yeah, the album is called Keep Rockin', which is pretty weak, if you ask me, right?
Yeah, that's not a great... That sounds like a late-period Foghat album.
It does, yes. It's like he put so much time into everything else and then didn't give any time to the title. Yeah, it's like you said, Foghat. Tight Shoes is a better title than that, than Keep Rockin'.
Yeah, so... Well, you know, Dildan's shock whistle maybe took all his energy.
I think so, yeah. Speaking of, you know, his whole thing about exercise?
How he feels that the human body is like a battery that has...
has
like
a finite amount of energy, yeah. He'll talk about it, and I'll just have to kind of go along with it. Yeah, yeah, it sounds... Sure. Yeah, you're right. That's right. Let's sit more.
Uh-huh.
Let's sit harder, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But, you know, besides music...
Yeah.
You know, I shouldn't talk about this, but I am pretty baked, as I said.
Sure, sure.
We've been talking about how he's dreading summer, just dreading it.
Why would he be dreading the summer?
Because then he can't wear his hiding coats.
Uh-huh. What is a hiding coat?
Well, you've heard of hiding hats, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah, everybody knows what a hiding hat is.
You know, that those wool caps that celebrities wear as they're coming out of a restaurant in Hollywood, so the paparazzi will even be more drawn to them because it's 80 degrees and they're wearing a wool cap.
Sure, yeah. It's like dressing like you were in the E Street Band in 1974.
Exactly, yes,
yeah.
Still one of the great mysteries of all time. I don't think he wore that thick knit cap ever again, except for that one show in at Hammersmith Odeon.
Has a band ever had a higher percentage of hats on stage?
I don't think so, no. Maybe, Token Entry, you know, at CBGB's in the Hardcore Matinee in 87 or so.
Sure.
But they wore those backwards baseball caps.
But if you're
really
considering
count.
Just hats.
You're talking like funky hats.
I'm talking like maybe the band would top out on who had the most hats. I could picture them starting off the show with a lot of hats.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so, yeah. Where do you stand on the band?
You know, I've tried to get into them a bunch of times, and it just doesn't do it for me past a few songs.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, it's very, very, they're very solemn, which I think is what I might have a hard time with.
Well, that's that Canadian, you know, thing.
To me, sometimes they feel like they're Canadian Civil War reenactors.
Right,
like
dress, yeah.
Dressing like they're from the 1800s. And acting like it's the most serious, like they're in some sort of band out on the battlefield.
Yep. Like, eating that stuff, what's it called, hardtack?
Yeah, they're out there.
I say, Rick, have you got any more hardtack?
That's very good.
I lost mine at Antietam.
Didn't
think I knew history, did you? Well,
no, it's a real, I'm learning a lot on this call.
I'm here to teach.
Tonight.
Yeah. But, you know, hiding coats are the same thing, they hide, you know, one's girth.
Okay.
And, you know, it's no secret that as he gets more and more embroiled in controversy, he eats more and more flame-broiled whoppers.
Yeah, his eating is definitely... It seems like it's in a very bad place.
It is, yeah. I've seen him bring in... We talked about the Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
He had the Stanley Cup... I don't know where it resides when it's not hockey season, but he had it brought in filled with this weird mix of fried chicken, Skittles, bacon, and like... Not even sandwich ready Arby's. It was just like the roast beef was just flung in there.
Uh-huh.
And he would just scoop it out.
Ugh.
He was using all that finite energy to scoop it.
Uh-huh.
And chow.
Yeah.
Sick stuff.
All that battery, you know?
I know, yeah. And, you know, also, that's why he's trying to do away with the EPA and why he's, you know, he's engaging with all these climate change deniers so that he can, you know, he's trying to convince everybody that it's not getting hotter. The planet is not changing. And as a result, he's going to be able to act like it's still cold outside all the time so he can wear his hiding coats all year long.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
I understand that then. So he's definitely got... an agenda with that.
He does, yeah. It's the code agenda.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Yeah. Oh, what else? You know, he's also very focused on his Adult Swim show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wait, what is he focused on?
His Adult Swim show.
Wait, the TV, for TV?
Yes, yeah.
He has an Adult Swim show?
Yeah, yeah. He pitched it in December, and Lasso gave it the green light, you know, like a week later or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be directed by Dave Willis.
Okay.
And it's shepherded by this exec there named Ollie Green.
Okay.
Yeah, and here's an interesting story. Every Thursday night at 9, the White House basically shuts down while Trump and Ms. Green discuss the ABC show Scandal.
Okay.
In real time, while it's airing, via text messaging, like they're super bitchy, like they'll say stuff like, I like the show better when Fitz and Liv were making the Beast with Two Backs.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
So a lot of Scandal.
I think Quinn looks dumb in this jacket, that sort of stuff.
So a lot of Scandal chit-chat.
Yeah, Scandal.
I haven't watched Scandal yet. Is it too late for me to get on board, do you think? Do you know Scandal, Larry?
It's never too late to get in Shonda land.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Maybe I should wait for the next Shonda show.
Season, though, of Scandal.
But if
you need to start watching The Catch.
But that's what I'll do. I'll get on one of the new ones. There's like a fireman show she has or something, right?
Yeah, Hot Stuff.
Okay. Maybe yeah. I'll watch Hot Stuff.
Do it, yes.
And then I'll find someone who I can just kind of like...
Oh, can it be me, please?
Well, or maybe. Maybe, Larry.
Oh, I'm teaching you.
All right,
so much,
it could be
though.
You. It could be you. We'll do...
We'll
tweet about... text about Hot Stuff.
Well, let's tweet it, too.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
So wait, so tell me more about this show he's got. What is Trump's show on Adult Swim about?
You know, I'd be terrible at explaining it, but luckily, when I was going through his sketch pad here, I found, what's it called? Is it called a log line? Is that what they call it?
That's like TV talk. It would be okay.
Well, I have it here, and I'll just read it. It's called Donald Trump's Video Vault.
Okay.
Our hero, Donald, is a maintenance man in a storage facility for the Museum of Television and Radio. He's in charge of making sure that the conditions in the storage rooms are kept at proper temperature and moisture so the tapes don't decompose or decay. Ooh, a hurricane hits while our hero is on duty and the air conditioning unit shuts off. So Donald has to try and fix it. As he's on his hands and knees trying to repair it, ooh, a lightning bolt strikes the entire museum and Donald is disintegrated into a pile of dust. Everyone assumes he's been killed, ooh, but he's actually been transferred into the video vault. He's actually alive in the context of what is on each tape in the vault. Ooh, Donald has to jump from tape to tape with the goal of reaching, oh, this is cool, the master computer at the end of the line.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, and that means he's jumping from the world contained, this is really smart, contained on each tape.
So he's on the VHS tapes.
Yes, pretty cool idea.
Yeah.
That means that one episode will feature Trump living within an old episode of the Merv Griffin Show, sitting on the panel as Merv interviews Orson Welles and Al Haig. Ooh, he then ends up having to jump onto an episode of Fat Albert and try to help the gang get their bicycle back from a local bike thief. Ooh, then he's in the wild world of sports, and he's swimming against Mark Spitz.
Okay.
And if he in any way alters the reality within a tape, ooh, the next tape could very well exist within a different world. This is really cool.
Yeah.
Says here, the show gives a great opportunity for all sorts of comedians to come on portraying different characters throughout television. Ooh, Jonah Ray plays Gavin McLeod from Love Boat, and, oh, I love this guy. Andy Kindler is great as Dick Cavett.
That would be, yeah. I could see Andy Kindler playing Dick Cavett.
I think so, yeah. It's very meta and Charlie Kaufman-esque. I don't know who that is. And smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds, I would actually watch that show. That sounds really good.
I would, too.
Yeah.
You know, he also has this other show that he's been working on with Tim Heidecker.
Uh-huh.
And it's called Bathroom Bible Stories for Teenagers.
Okay.
It's really sick. I probably can't describe much of it over the phone. Basically, it's parents, and they go into the bathroom when they're... from the Bible.
Yeah, I had to bleep you on that whole stretch there, Larry.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I didn't even want to say it.
Hey, can I ask you a question? You know, you spilled the beans on the whole Comey thing.
Right.
Like, what do you know about, like, the Russian stuff? Like, has he ever talked about that stuff with you? Like, what they have on him?
Honestly?
Yeah?
He has.
Okay.
And it is a pee tape.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, that's really shocking. We don't have to go into the specific details of the tape, if that's something.
Oh, it's nothing like that. No, no. It's an album he did with G.G. Allin and the Murder Junkies in 1990, and it's called the Pee Tapes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. They recorded it at this really bad studio in Moscow.
Uh-huh.
And as the president likes to say, the production is so bad it makes Sam Haines' Initium sound like number one record.
Okay. Uh-huh.
They're pretty deep references for him, but he's always surprising me.
Yeah, I'm blown away. I'm still blown. I still think the most outrageous thing is that you're a fan of the album Sonic Boom.
I think it's great. I love the cover. It's kind of a throwback to Rock and Roll Over,
mm-hmm.
but you know, but updated too. Yeah. So anyway, the P tapes, they recorded in this really bad studio in Moscow, and so it sounds awful. And he's super embarrassed by it, so you can see why he doesn't want this thing coming out, because the quality's so bad. And he said, honestly, he said he and Gigi didn't really gel on the lyrical front at all.
Okay.
Yeah. The president didn't feel it was edgy enough.
So he didn't think it was edgy enough that Gigi was delivering on...
Yes, that, okay. Yeah.
I mean, do you know what any of the songs on this are? What they were?
Yeah. God, there was, what else was there? And there was one called, and there's one called, Let Me Dip My Hitler Mustache Into... Blood.
Again, I had to bleep all of that.
Just all right, yeah. Well... I have no defense. You know, I would have too. But you know, Putin has this thing all ready to go. It's mastered. He's got artwork, liner notes from Andy Zax and Gerard Cosloy.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty extensive stuff. And see, the big thing is Trump doesn't want it coming out before the Don comes out.
Okay.
He's terrified that it's going to chart higher than the Don.
All right. Well, I mean that's. I gotta say this. All of this stuff is bizarre, and it's all a little disturbing. Also,
I know.
A lot of this stuff.
Yeah, it's great.
You know.
Uh oh.
What?
Oh no.
Wait. What's going on?
Oh no! I just got a text from Bannon.
Yeah.
He says that Trump's on the warpath.
Okay.
That's actually what we call the hallways here at the White House.
The warpath.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
The president drives up and down them in his Trump school.
What's that?
A Trump school.
What is a Trump school?
Basically, it's an orange rascal, but it's got this weird top that's made of, you know, that silky stuff that's in like corn, like as you shuck it.
Yeah, like the corn, the
is
hair.
Is it called corn silk?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, it's like
so
the. Yeah.
It's got a bunch of that woven on top, so it looks like his hair. It's like if a cart was a tribute to someone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or wow. So so he drives around in an orange rascal that has.
He does. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, Steve says that Trump was listening this whole time to our conversation. Uh oh.
So he was listening to this.
Yeah.
Like I mean, how is it like a tapping situation?
Oh, no. No, he listens to The Best Show live.
No.
He does, yeah. He's listened since, I think, like, 2007.
To this show?
Yes, yeah. He got turned on to you guys when Mayor Bloomberg played him that Art of the Slap CD you guys did.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. He's always quoting that that line. What is it? He's buried in a blues igloo.
That's a line there I hear back a fair amount. Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, it's funny. And you know, honestly, he's always saying that Mamacita needs to get more airtime.
Mamacita, who is AP Mike.
Yes, yeah. And you didn't hear it from me, mm-hmm. but the word around here is that he's going to name AP Mike as Spicer's replacement.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
Yes. Mike knows about it, too, but I'm sure you know he's been sworn to secrecy.
He has not mentioned I asked him...
He can't mention it.
What's going on? How are you doing?
Right.
Stone-faced.
Nope.
I mean, the thing with Mike is I assume it's just like, when he's stone-faced like that, I assume he's just like, there's nothing upstairs with that, but he's just very, very canny, very, very...
No, that's true. That's what Trump wants.
Wants what?
Nothing going on upstairs.
Okay, well, so Mike's doing a little bit of both then. He's playing
yeah.
it. Okay.
Yeah.
Very clever. Very.
Anyway, yeah. Oh, no.
What?
Oh, no, I'm looking at the close... circuit security feed here.
Yeah.
In the studio.
Okay.
He's coming. Oh no. Oh my god, he's got that giant whipping hat.
What is a giant whipping hat? Or any
well,
size whipping
it's a
hat.
Giant replica of that cool Make America Great Again red hat that he wears.
Yeah.
That he loves to like have in his hand as he comes out of the plane, you know, out of Air Force One like all the presidents before him. You know, holding a baseball cap.
Yeah, it's like he comes out of the plane as if the team just won the World Series.
Exactly. Yes, and he's like Sparky Anderson.
Yes, as if it's the manager who just is greeting the team's fans at the airport.
Thank you guys for a great season. I want to thank Johnny Bench, our MVP this year. He did a fantastic job, and this. This series was for you guys.
So a giant whipping hat.
Yes. Oh, looks- but he also sprays it with this. I don't know where he gets this. It's there's no other way to describe it. It's stinging oil that he sprays on this hat.
Okay.
And then he uses the giant hat as a giant whip.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Oh no! Here he comes! Oh no! No, Mr. President! No, please! No! No!
Larry?
No! No!
Are you okay?
No! No, no more, please! No!
Larry? Larry?
Ow! Oh, no!
Larry?
Oh, he stopped.
Well, that's okay.
Oh, no! My haunches! Oh, my God! Oh, it stings so! Oh, it stings so bad.
Larry,
I gotta finish these mixes.
Larry, oh, he hung up. Thanks again for listening to Best Show Best, and I want to thank Martin DeGrell for supervising the episodes of Best Show Best, and of course, much thanks to Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Martine Celis, Brendan McDonald, AP Mike. Of course, John Worster. Who else? Marcia Neumeier. And, you, the Best Show listener. Thank you. And if you like this, check out the full show every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight at thebestshow.net. And support the Best Show, patreon.com/thebestshow. Thanks so much for listening. Goodbye.